Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have one of my favorite people on. It's been a while, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. I love my pet. I've had pets since I was in first grade, and they're family to me and to any pet owner out there. And like we talk about ourselves and thinking about how we can keep ourselves healthy, I think it's important to take care of our other members of our family, and that's our pets. And I want to welcome Dr. Marlene Siegel. She is an international speaker, an innovator in integrative veterinary medicine, and her practice, Pasco Veterinary Medical Center in Lutz, Florida, offers the widest array of alternative therapies and detox services in the country. She's developed her own raw pet food company and supplements, evoloveraw.com. She's passionate about education. She has online programs for pet parents and vets to teach integrative veterinary medicine. And she's launched PAWS Family Wellness in 2021. It's a detox center for pets and their parents. And I think with everything that we've been dealing with, it's important to now have somebody who can speak, an expert who can speak to how we can take care of our pets. I recently had a friend who contacted me and one of her pets was diagnosed with cancer. And Dr. Siegel was the first person I thought about because I know she's had amazing success and I love her style. So Dr. Siegel, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, it's such an honor and thank you for inviting me.
Oh, it's a pleasure, I have to say. I'm looking forward to our conversation. I know that your Pasco Vet Center, when I first interviewed you, been, I guess, a couple of years ago, I was really struck with the success that you've had thinking outside the box. And I didn't realize how cancer, for example, was such a huge problem with pets. And I wanted to revisit that a bit because we're living in toxic times for humans and pets. And I think you have an interesting take because it's not just taking care of the pet anymore, right? It's the pet and their owners. Is that correct?
Well, it's the pet, it's the owners, and it's Mother Earth. You know, we get so busy and tied up with all of our distractions that we forget that if we don't start taking care of Mother Earth, Mother Earth is not going to support us for very much longer. There are actually studies out there now that show that we have about 70 years, if we do not change the trajectory of how we're taking care of this planet, between the carbon cycle being disrupted, between the amount of glyphosate and other pesticides that are being poured on our land and destroying the microbiome, destroying the plant fauna, destroying the bees. You know, the bees pollinate over 70% of our food. So if we run out of bees, we kill them all off. We literally will be out there hand pollinating our trees to try to get food. So it's a really bigger issue than I think most people are actually thinking about because they're just kind of busy in their own little world and they're forgetting that the world that we live in needs to be sustainable as much as our own personal selves.
Well, it's all connected, isn't it? I don't think we realize that. You're right. We're so caught up with the day to day. And I think the last year and a half has been very much focused on survival for a lot of people, emotionally, physically. And we really need to take a step back and think about everything holistically, because I think we're energetically connected. And there's nothing more powerful than, you know, a pet and parent connection, because that's just true energy. There's no, quid pro quo. There's nothing. It's just honest. And I think it's been a lifesaver for a lot of people to have a pet and to have something that, or a being that is providing unconditional love in an environment sometimes where it can be hopeless, right?
It can seem so, yeah.
So let's talk about the pets and their health. Because I think last time you came on, you talked about how cancer in cats was pretty much just, I thought, higher than in just an amazing rate of cancer. And I wanted to start off with cats and dogs and work our way to how we become more health conscious and sustainable. Is it still the case that cancer rates are going kind of through the roof in cats?
I think they're higher than we've seen in the past. And the reported rates, and this is probably an older statistic, is one out of three cats are getting cancer, and one out of 1.65 dogs. So it's presumably the dogs have a higher cancer rate, but I think the cats are underreported because so many people don't take their cats to a veterinarian. So I think that number is a much higher number, but we just see, gosh, we're up to, on the average week, we see 3 to 5 cancer cases or more in a given week. So it is really a problem. And we have to, as a community, as a society, we have to step back and start asking ourselves the question, what are we doing that is creating these rates of disease? Because that's just cancer. Mm-hmm. So then if you start including obesity, arthritis, autoimmune diseases, skin problems, now you're talking about almost 100% of the animals that we're seeing are suffering from some form of chronic disease, even under the age of 2.
So kittens and puppies? So these are, wow.
Yeah, under the age of 2, yeah, we're seeing stuff. By the time they start reaching about a year of age, we're already starting to see the beginnings of problems. So this is not something that is going to go away. We have to change our lifestyles. And when we have to change that lifestyle for our pet, we end up doing it for ourselves. That's mm-hmm. a good thing. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you're pouring less toxins out into the environment just because you're not having as many in your home and you're not slathering you and the pets up with it. So you're being more conscientious of the products that you're selecting so that they're more earth friendly as well.
I think you make a really, it's a subtle point, but it's an extremely important one. It's almost as if, for lack of a better way, analogy, canaries in the coal mine, so to speak. So as your pets mm-hmm. get ill, that's really an extension of what's happening with us as humans, because our cancer rate is crazy. We've seen autoimmune rates jump out through the roof, and it's only gotten worse. I mean, it's like for physicians, we're seeing more people on more medications, but they're sicker. So we're all in the same soup, so to speak. So I think sometimes people can take a step back when it's their pet. And then is it a little bit easier way to get them to change their habits because it's pet related?
Well, interestingly enough, people will do things for their pets that they will not initially do for themselves. And I think that's just real interesting that human behavior is like that. We have a tendency to not self-care. And, you know, it's something that maybe it's a generational thing, but we really were not taught how to take care of ourselves. We were taught to go to the doctor, take a pill for the ill. Well, first you have to name it. Then your doctor has named it for you. Then you blame it. And then you come up with some kind of a pharmaceutical for it. And we haven't taken responsibility for our own health. So I think we're seeing a shift now. You know, I think COVID was a wonderful opportunity. If anybody had planned that to be evil, it may have backfired, because I think it was a time where people started to become more conscientious. They started looking for solutions. They quit looking for the easy out, and they started to really take care of themselves and their families and started to go back to their roots. And I see more and more people growing food right now. Mm-hmm. This is huge. And here's why it's so big. In addition to the fact that you can produce food that you can eat, and hopefully it's, you're not using any pesticides and sprays, but the microbiome that is in Mother Earth, when you pull weeds, you're aerosolizing millions of microbes. And then they get on your skin, you breathe them in. And these microbes are essential for the operation of our body. So we are 10 to 1 more bacteria than we are human cells. We're 100 to 1 more mitochondria, the powerhouses that run the body, than we are human cells. We don't even produce our own energy. Go figure. So supporting that microbiome of ourselves and our pets is actually hugely important. We function on the functional genes of this microbiota. In other words, what happens is we only have like 22,000 functional genes, the genes that tell our body, our genes, what to turn on, what to turn off, how to really truly run our body. But we have millions and trillions of organisms that are allowing us in a symbiotic relationship to share their functional genes. And that's what allows the complexity of human beings. The same thing for our animals. So if we just spent more time creating a healthy terrain, the inside environment for our bodies and our pets' bodies, so that the good microbes could actually flourish, the diversity of all these different species, then we would be automatically, just by that, we would be so much healthier. Our functional genes would be improved. Our ability to resist the pathogens would improve. The body wouldn't be making pathogens because the environment would be good. The only reason our bodies make pathogens is because it's responding to this terrain that's being disrupted. Wow. So I think it's really important that we stop and we think about what is the biology of our body? How does our bodies actually work? And, you know, majority of the population, including our doctors and including our veterinarians, we aren't taught the biology of the body. We are taught how to diagnose symptoms, to name them, and then we blame them, and then we have a pharmaceutical or a treatment for them. And truly, that's the model of the Western world, because it was modeled after the germ theory. The germ theory was, oh, the germs are bad. If we can wipe out the germs, we won't get sick. Louis Pasteur was actually the father of the germ theory. But before he died, he admitted he was wrong. He admitted that the real key lied in having a healthy terrain. So that's what I help people to focus on with their pets. How can we create the healthiest terrain, the inside environment for that pet to be able to thrive? And it's magical, right? It's so simple, but it's magical.
Well, on that note, let's think about that and come back and explore further. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living a Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Marlene Siegel, the owner of the Pasco Veterinary Medical Center. And before the break, we were talking about the importance of a God-given immune system that needs a symbiosis with bacteria, with things that are around us. So, you know, in the age of COVID, we've gone nuts with all sorts of sanitizing and not being exposed to anything, with masks and staying away from each other. Is that helpful? From what you describe, we need to be exposed to things in order for us to have a very powerful immune response and hardy system. Is that the same thing for the pets?
Absolutely. So the more that we try to disrupt the natural ecosystem, the more damage we are actually causing. Our bodies were designed to not only have education, like we're almost like this intelligence. As we're exposed to things, our body has these built-in mechanisms that learns how to grow from it, how to learn from it, how to be able to adapt from it. So when we start isolating ourselves and we put these masks on, which create stress, puts you in a sympathetic state, which is that fight flight state, then you can't even heal and repair because you've turned off the system of the body, the parasympathetic nervous system that allows you to rest, digest, and repair and detoxify. And then we take all of these masks, which of course are not regulated, and they have plastics in them and they have these impregnated toxins in them. And now you're breathing them right in your nose all day long, lowering your oxygen saturation. Somebody actually said there was talk of doing a mask for dogs. Oh. And I just, my jaw dropped. I went, oh, surely that can't be true. I haven't heard anything more about it. But some yo-yo was actually thinking about doing a mask for a dog. You know, at what point are we going to stop, take responsibility for our health and say, no, show me some scientific proof that what you're doing is going to work. I'd be all about that. But until you show me scientific proof that putting a mask on is going to be better than eating organic, nutrient-dense food, including probiotics, including vitamins, minerals, and the right fatty acids, I'm going to stick with having a better nutritional plane. I kind of thought that Hippocrates was spot on when he said, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. But we don't have food for our pets. We have Frankenfood.
Well, let's talk about
that. They would never walk by a bowl of kibble in the wild and eat that, right? It doesn't resemble anything that biologically makes sense.
Well, let's discuss that for a second, because You just mentioned kibble. That's like one of the main types of food available to dogs and cats. But I've in the wild, you don't see them eating that sort of thing. It's meat. It's all grass. It's all sorts of things that they seem to gravitate towards. What should pet parents really be looking for? And what's hype and what's real?
So the easiest way to describe how they should eat would be to look at what they eat in the wild. What do wild carnivores, lions and tigers and bears, what do they eat in the wild? And it's going to be dictated a little bit based on their environment. If they are in Alaska, they're going to have a little bit more seafood perhaps. But overall, they're eating another animal or fish in the state that they killed it in. They don't kill something and drag it to a kibble processor in the wild. They don't stuff it in cans and bags because it's more convenient to save it for the wintertime. So we have to quit being sold the bill of goods. We've been sold fast, cheap, and convenient in this country, so much so that we can't sustain our pets. We can't sustain ourselves. So number one is, if in doubt and you're confused about what the right choices are, literally study nature. And all your answers are right there. So in the wild, a carnivore, which is what our dogs are, our cats are obligate carnivores. That means that they have no dietary requirements for carbohydrates. So the average dog and cat in the wild eats a diet that's about 1% or less carbohydrates. Dogs eating kibble diets, or cats, are eating 40 to 60% carbohydrates. 40 to 60% sugar. Now, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to go, wow, I don't think sugar is good for us, right? We've heard that for a millennium now. And yet, what is in a lot of the food that we're eating? My daughter just bought some crackers, and she's usually pretty discerning about what she buys. And there were three different sugars in there in just a cracker. And if you don't read the labels, you really don't learn how to decipher what is good and what is not good, because package labeling is not going to help you. You have to understand what's in that label. So dogs are supposed to eat another animal in the state that they killed them in. Why? Because they don't have digestive enzymes in their mouth to digest carbohydrates. They rely on the enzymes in living tissue to aid in the digestion of that meal that they just ate. So as an example, if they're going to eat the meat and the fat from the animal that they just killed, that living tissue has enzymes in it. That's why when we die, we rot, because you're releasing enzymes from the cell and it's helping to break you down so that you become recycled into the earth. It's a magnificent system. But when you process food, you destroy the enzymes in that food. And now it's, I call it enzymatically dead. There's nothing to aid that animal in digesting that food except their pancreas. And pancreatitis, pancreatic diseases are super high in animals these days. I have a little kitty cat right now that was hospitalized, came in vomiting, feeling terrible. She had a horrific case of pancreatitis. She was eating processed foods.
Wow.
So now that we got her eating and we've got her stable, we're weaning her onto a raw diet so that she can eat what is species appropriate for her to eat. And it kind of makes sense that if you're eating what you were designed to eat, logically, you're going to be healthier than if you're eating processed junk that your body was never designed to thrive on. Does that make sense?
Makes absolute sense. And from what you described with the sugar, that dovetails with what goes on in with humans. You know, we're eating so much carbohydrates, we're getting diabetes, and I assume that that may be something with pets as well. And it feeds cancer for us. So that would make perfect sense from a medical standpoint why the pets are, the rate of cancer and inflammation, et cetera, is so high in pets. We really could take a page from what you're telling us to help both parents and their babies.
Absolutely. And that's the whole beauty of actually understanding the body's biology, is it just doesn't become so difficult anymore. You can make good decisions and good choices on what is healthy to eat based on what your species appropriate diet is. So let's just keep it to the dogs for right now, the dogs and cats. And they were designed to eat another animal in the state that they killed it in. So one reason was to get the enzymes. The second reason was to get the moisture. We're made up of 70% water. So when you're eating a diet of, let's say, you know, your dog killed something and is going to eat it, 70% of their water comes from that diet. We have a lot of pet parents that put their dogs on raw diets and they go, my dog just doesn't drink water like he used to. They go, well, yeah, because he's getting most of his water in his diet now. Very important for cats. So cat owners, listen up. Cats came from the desert, so they were designed to be able to thrive on a low water intake because you didn't find a lot of water in the desert. And when you did, it needed to be moving water. So if you watch your kitty cats, they love taking their foot and moving the water. You know, they put their paw in there and they're kind of seeing, is it swishing? Is it moving? And they're looking for that running water because instinctually running water is healthy water. Stagnant water could kill you. So they're looking for that running water. And then if it's not an organic diet that you're being fed, then they're going to be loaded with hormones, chemicals, pesticides, huge amounts of glyphosate. Glyphosate is just blowing holes in the gut lining. Talk about leaky gut. This is beyond leaky gut. This is destroying the gut integrity, along with wiping out the microbiome. So it's really devastating what we're thinking about. And so you think about an animal that's being fed a kibble diet all day long. So now fill the bowl and they leave and they go to work and we feel good because our pets have something to eat while we're gone. But A, they weren't biologically designed to eat all day long. So they need to fast. Intermittent fasting is such a big thing in people now. Mm-hmm. And animals were designed to intermittent fast automatically because they only ate at dawn and dusk. You know, there wasn't a bowl for them to walk over and eat off of. So they had to get hungry enough to expend the energy that they needed in order to catch their dinner. So not only were they intermittent fasting, but now they're getting high intensity exercise, which is all wonderful ways of creating hormetic stressors naturally. But what do? We fill our bowls. They're eating tons of sugar, enzymatically dead food, dehydrated to the max. And then they're not even exercising to get it. And they're grazing all day long. So they've turned off all these metabolic pathways that were designed to help clean up the body and help it run more efficiently.
This sounds like you're speaking about humans. I mean, this is the same thing I tell my patient. It is.
Right.
I mean, oh my gosh. It's one size in this instance that fits everybody in terms of every living creature. You know, from our standpoint, in terms of health, you could be talking to my patients right now and saying the same thing. And as we go, so does our pets. And, you know, honestly, it's not that hard, really. This is all cell biology and physiology. And you've just put out the secret to what we need to be doing. But we're going to take a break in a minute, but I want to backtrack. For those who don't know, what is glyphosate? Because it's something it affects humans and pets.
Yeah, now it's inescapable. It's the active ingredient in a pesticide called Roundup. And it's being sprayed on crops. But the people that are being most affected are actually homeowners. So there are more homeowners that are spraying products like glyphosate to get rid of the weeds and not even realizing the amount of damage that they're causing to themselves, to the earth. It's horrific. And so not only is the glyphosate, the active ingredient in Roundup, toxic, but the degradation products, as that breaks down, are equally as toxic. So now you've extended the amount of time that this product is creating damage. And it's water soluble. So not only does it go on your lawn, but then it goes down into our water systems, our aquifer where we get our drinking water. And now it's in our rainwater, it's in our tap water, it's everywhere. In fact, I have a chart of showing all the tributaries from the entire map of the United States. And a majority of the water tributaries all feed into the Mississippi River. The area between Baton Rouge and Louisiana is called Cancer Alley because it has the highest rate of cancers, one or more per person that lives there. And it's all because of all of this water-soluble glyphosate that's coming from all over the country and just running down into these tributaries, feeding right into the Mississippi River.
Man, on that note, let's think about that and take our second break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Marlene Siegel. You know, that's a scary statistic. And, you know, how can we avoid that? I mean, people talk about bottled water, and now there are companies that actually make water that's, I don't really drink Fiji, but there's another company called Divinia Water, which is exclusion zone water, deuterium depleted. So there's ways that we can get better quality water. But what about filtration systems for ourselves and our pets? Is that something that is more user-friendly for folks? Will that get rid of the glyphosate, or do we have to be detoxed?
Well, we can unpack that a couple of different ways. So number one, we do have to have better water to drink from. The criteria for me is my water needs to be highly filtered. You've got to make sure all the hormones, chemicals, pesticides, all the way up to glyphosate is filtered out of that water. But as important as that is, the water needs to be structured. And you just mentioned deuterium depleted water. So when your cells are hydrated properly, they actually produce structured water. It's fourth phase water. But when you're dehydrated, your body can't keep up with that. It can't do its metabolic job. So I like to use, there are systems that I use. I rather than just say it on the air, if anybody's really interested, just contact me. And this isn't about promoting a particular product. This is about education. So if they want to know specific products, I welcome the phone calls. But number one, it has to be highly filtered. Number two, it has to be structured. And there's a little quick way we can do this at home. It doesn't filter it, but it structures the water. If you take organic herbs, whether it's mint or basil or whatever you like to put, I put rosemary and all that in my water. If that was grown organically, the water in that plant is structured. So when you put that into your glass of water, it will structure the water in the glass through physical contact. So it's a nice little hack for being able to structure your water.
That's
doesn't
a great
filter
hack.
It, but it actually will structure it. So that's pretty cool. And then because nature does it automatically, you know, when photosynthesis is happening and the sun goes down to the plant and it has moisture on it early in the morning, that dew becomes a singlet oxygen, which then takes that energy into the plant, structures the water, and then there's light energy trapped in the plant. Now think about that. If we're eating organically grown natural greens and fruits and vegetables, we're eating the energy of the sun from those foods. Mm-hmm. So we go back to the life cycle again. Are we eating foods that are sustaining us and supporting us? And when I say that, when I say we, I'm referring to our pets and us. And are we understanding the biological pathways that run our bodies so that we're supporting those pathways through our food? You know, we have multiple pathways to fight cancer. When I say, again, we, dogs and cats and us. And there are certain foods that when we eat them ripened on the vine have chemicals in them that actually turn on our cancer, our anti-cancer pathways, so that if there's abnormal cells, our anti-cancer pathways recognize these abnormal cells and cause apoptosis or cellular death. So the cancer never grows. But we're eating foods that are picked early, ripened under lights, are not organic, so they're loaded with hormones, chemicals, and pesticides. How do you expect the body to work under that? So I think that we should be growing food, not lawns. Can go on a whole talk about that, but the entire area around my house, I call it my yarden because it's my yard, but it's an entire garden of food. Even my weeds, I grow weeds that I can eat.
That's pretty awesome.
And yeah, that's what I had for lunch. I had sweet potato leaves and chia leaves and bitter melon and celery and onions, everything that was picked out of the garden and sauteed in some coconut oil and added garlic. And oh my gosh, it was amazing. I could feel energized as I was eating it. It was just living food. It was amazing. So I know there's, we have limited time and we covered a bunch of topics. You know, we hit on things that could be an entire conversation by themselves. But I think the thing that I would like to inspire people to do is, number one, start using your critical thinking skills. We have been dumbed down to the point where we don't even question what is being done in and on our bodies and our pets' bodies. And we've given our authority over to a white coat, thinking that they know better. And they probably know a lot, but that doesn't mean that they know what's best for your body and your pet's body.
I couldn't have said it better.
Yeah. So it's, we have to have some critical thinking. We have to be able to ask the question, why? How does it work? Why does it work? You know, I've got an online program, by the way, if any of the pet parents want to take a, well, I've got a free PDF. Let's start there. It's called holistichealingvet.com. And it's my 5 steps to how do you implement this. Number one, I teach you how to stop polluting the body in all the different ways that we have control over. Number two, we talk about the essential nutrients. What is an essential nutrient? It's a nutrient the body can't manufacture in sufficient quantities on its own. Then I talk about healing the leaky gut, because that's extremely important. Number four, detoxification. We have 6 organs of elimination, and they are overworked, they're inundated, they can't do their jobs, and that's when we start to have dysfunction. And then number five, it's about the mitochondria. As soon as we damage the mitochondria and we don't have them working, producing energy and being an effective communicator, we're in deep doo-doo. So the free PDF, holistichealingvet.com, gives you 5 steps. But then I have an online course for pet parents and developed it during COVID so that people had a resource to start learning about their pet's biology. It's a 3-hour course. It's awesome. So they just need to call my office, and it's Pasco Veterinary Medical Center in Lutz, Florida. You want me to give a phone number?
Sure.
813-973-2929. And the course is $155. It is amazing. I mean, I took 20 plus years of information, distilled it down into an understandable platform. And then there's the action plan. So I, after somebody purchases the program and they watch the videos, then I will get on a call with them, about a 15-minute call, and just help them with implementation so that they, I make sure that they know how to get started, because it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at, I have them make a column A and a column B. Column A are all the things you should be doing, but you haven't started them yet. So as the people are watching the videos, they're writing down, oh, I didn't know I should do that. You know, and they're just going down their checklist. Mm-hmm. And then column B are all the things that they shouldn't be doing, but they are still doing them. And that gives them now a blueprint to be able to, at the rate that they're comfortable, to start making better choices. And it doesn't, it's not about doing everything day one. If you make it so difficult that you're not going to keep up with it, then it's not worth it, right? You have to be mm-hmm. sustainable even in your choices. That's so we try to help people walk through, how do you implement this so that it becomes who you are, not what you do. It literally becomes who you are.
Well, that's a recipe for health in the, you know, it's a lifestyle change. But you have to make mm-hmm. the mental change first. And what you, what I love about what you just described is that you're teaching people. So my goal in my practice is to have the patients understand why I'm asking them mm-hmm. to partner with me. And that's with the pet parents and everything. So if you understand why the choice is a good thing or a bad thing, then it gives you the option to choose it with intention. And when you see, again, positive results, your pet is more healthy, they've lost weight, if they're on medication or their skin is a problem, it reverses, or the best case scenario, if they're really sick and they get brought back to health, that's a positive. And I think if you can see that, it's just there's nothing breeds success like more success, right? So you know you're on the right track. It's yeah. easy to keep making the right decision for you and the pet.
Yeah. And I've never run into a pet parent who is overjoyed and happy that they have created this harm in their pet.
No.
Nobody wants to do that. We just don't know better. And most veterinarians, I'm so sad to say, don't know better either. I do have a course for veterinarians to teach veterinarians how to integrate alternative medicine into their practices, because it isn't known. We're not taught that. So it's not that they're bad vets. Veterinarians are amongst the most amazing people on the planet. Never seen a group more compassionate than veterinarians. But if you only know what you know and you don't know what you don't know, you can't make better choices. So it's all a matter of all of us taking responsibility and educating ourselves. But the two biggest reasons why people fail, and that's why I did this program, number one, a lack of education, which you just addressed. And number two is implementation, because when you get that much information, you sit there and you go, oh my God, I don't know where to start. So you don't start anywhere. And that's why I created the buy system, where you watch the videos and then I actually get on the phone with you afterwards. Mm-hmm. And it's not a long conversation. I'm not diagnosing and treating over the phone, but I'm helping people to implement those five steps, so that they actually have an action plan and they can start being successful as they carry it through. But I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You got to make some changes.
It takes work.
Not a passive process.
No.
So when I go out to eat, as an example, and I don't go out very often, but if I have to travel, you know, and I can't take all my food with me, and I do go to a restaurant, first thing I ask when I go to that restaurant is, what are the oils you're cooking my food in? And if it's bad oils, I will either not eat there, or I'll ask for a different oil, or I'll bring my oils and see if they'll use it. Now we've learned that most chefs are the same way. They want to please you. They want to be able to have you enjoy and come back to their restaurant. So if you call them ahead of time and you tell them you have a dietary allergy, they're more than happy to accommodate. They just need time. You can't walk in at, you know, busy hour of dinner and ask them to go to the grocery store for you. You know, that's not going to work.
No.
But if you give them time to prepare, I found that they all want to do that. So my point in that little story is just about taking responsibility, taking the extra step to ask questions and be responsible for making better decisions. But education is number one, and then implementation is number two.
I love it. Let's take our last break, because I want to ask you about EMF. It's something that's a big topic for humans, and I'm curious to know how it affects pets. So let's talk about that when we return. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Marlene Siegel. She is the owner of the Pasco Veterinary Medical Center, and she's launching Paws Family Wellness in 2021 at the end of this year. It's a detox center for pets and their parents. And before we get to that, I just want to ask you quickly about EMF. It's a big topic, and it's bathing us. We've got 5G coming. We've got routers. We've got phones in the rooms with us. And how does that affect our pets? These are energetic beings, very sensitive. Is it affecting their health in any way?
Oh, huge. In fact, they just launched the EMF Summit. By the time this airs, I don't know if anybody will be able to go back to it. I think the replay weekend is this coming weekend. And I was interviewed on that several times. And I did live blood studies where I took a drop of blood from an animal, and then I look at that under the microscope with special techniques, and you're looking at the morphology of the red blood cell. You're looking to see, are they spread apart or are they clumped together? And then I would expose them to EMF, and immediately the cells were extremely clumped. And then we do something that spreads them out, whether it's nutrition or it's enzymes or it's EMF blockage or whatever device we were using, and we could see the cells separate within minutes. So dramatic difference to how all mammals are being affected by EMF. So in the ebook, we talk about EMF, and distance is the best thing you could do. Mm-hmm. Get as far away from things as you can. So I always talk on my cell phone on speakerphone. I never have it up to my head. And at nighttime, I go off emergency call at 11 o'clock, phone goes on airplane mode, and it is more than 15 feet away from me. Mm-hmm. No computers, no televisions, no electronics in my bedroom. And I went back and rehardwired my house when we built the house 27 years ago. It's pretty funny. It, you know, that big time Wi-Fi was so awesome. Everybody was doing the Wi-Fi thing. So we're building our house. And the same guy that actually wired it has now come back to hardwire everything in. I spent as much money rehardwiring as I did going Wi-Fi. It's pretty funny. But we are hardwired so that we can mitigate and minimize the amount of EMF exposure. No 5G in my house and no smart appliances. And then if you have pets and you do have these appliances and you aren't willing to swap them out for the non-smartphone stuff, then at least create distance between the pet and the appliance. But you can get a meter, and this is real important. You can buy these meters, they're under $300, that will be able to show you what your EMF exposure is. Again, if somebody needs a link, just contact me and I'll send you a link to the person who's the best guy to understand all that. And so if you leave your phone on your internet, this thing goes off the charts. It's like a Richter scale. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you turn your Wi-Fi off of your computer, it goes to almost nothing. So when you're hardwired, you're not getting all the EMF. And I had an interesting experience. This was like 20 plus years ago, where I had two cell phones. No one knew better. I had two cell phones and two laptops. And on Tuesday mornings, I would take half a day to do my paperwork and research. And so I had literally had a phone on either side. I had one computer laptop sitting on my lap. The other one was next to me. So I had created this bubble of EMF. Mm. And by 11 o'clock, I could not keep my eyes open. I was so tired. And then I heard a summit and I thought, I wonder. And I took and put an EMF blocker on all my appliances. I swear to you, it was like somebody took a gray cloud and removed it from my head. And all of a sudden, all my energy came back. I was bright and alert. If I hadn't experienced that myself, I would not have been able to understand that this EMF that I had surrounded myself with was just creating this gray, heavy cloud of fog in my head. And as soon as I blocked it, it was gone. And ever since then, I've been much more diligent to keep the amount of EMF down. My office building was wired for Wi-Fi years ago. But if I had to do it again, I would go back to hardwire everything.
Wow. I totally understand. And I agree with you. I have a timer on my router now at home. And when it goes off, it's like the house got quiet. It's like weird. Mm-hmm. And you sleep so much better. And I've wired all of my computers in my office, so I no longer have wireless that I'm working with. And it does make a difference. And these are little things that you can do, but huge effect. Now, in the last section, I definitely want to get to your S-Pause Family Wellness, because that's different than your webinar, right? This is actually a center that people can come to and be with their pets and experience and start the process of changing their lifestyle habits, right?
Yeah. So what happened was I was doing consults for people all over the world, and I would tell them what I'm doing for XYZ problem. And they go, wow, that sounds fantastic, but there's nobody in my area that does that. And I had a dog out in California who had cancer in her nose, and I was encouraging him to take her to a salt booth. And now this is in Los Angeles. There was one salt booth in the entire Los Angeles area, and they would not allow the dog to come in even after hours. So I kiddingly said, you know, you should just open a center like what I do here. And of course, that wasn't in his wheelhouse to do that. But I started thinking about it and I thought, well, maybe I should open that. You know, maybe we should be able to provide this for more people. And it just kept coming up as a topic that people needed a place to be able to go and do these therapies. And that was the birth of SPAS Family Wellness. So we pronounce it SPAS. It's S-apostrophe-P-A-W-S. So SPAS Family Wellness is all the procedures that I do in my office now, which includes hyperbaric oxygen and ozone and salt booth therapy and light therapy. But basically what we're doing is we're detoxifying the six organs of elimination. So we don't necessarily have to say it that way, but that's essentially what we're doing. And the way we designed it was that people can come in with their pets, and they don't have to, they can come in by themselves, but if they want to come in with their pet, they can come in with the whole family. And it's like going to a spa, only you're more intentional in cleaning the six organs of elimination, which are, if you were wondering for the audience, because I know you know, the lungs, the liver, the skin, the lymphatic, with kidney, colon, lungs, liver, skin, and lymphatics. I have to say them in order. So, you know, the liver and the lymphatics, in my opinion, are the two most important organs of detoxification because they do so much of the heavy lifting. And yet, we are just killing ourselves with all these toxins, and our body just doesn't know what to do with synthetic toxins. And yet there's hundreds of thousands of them that we're exposed to on a daily basis if you're not paying attention. And even if you're paying attention, there's still going to be some exposure there. Mm-hmm. But at least if you're detoxing on a regular basis, and by the way, this is sort of like cleaning your house. You don't do it once in a lifetime, right? You go in on a regular basis and you clean your bathroom and you clean your sinks. Can you imagine how nasty it would be if you never went in there and cleaned it? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what our bodies are doing, right? We're going through all of these years with all this pollution being dumped and dumped and dumped and never getting really cleaned out. So the detox centers are phenomenal for being able to help support the body and allow the body to start to repair and regenerate. Mega important when we're talking about cancer therapies, because if we start to kill cancer cells and those cells have nowhere to go, then that's where we, you know, we make the excuse, oh, they're having a Herxheimer reaction. Mm-hmm. We're having a reaction to the cells that are dying. Well, not really. What you're having a reaction to is the fact that these toxins have nowhere to go. So we have to make sure that the body has these elimination pathways that are open and ready to detoxify.
And the in terms of coming to the spa's wellness, is it, it's something that you do routinely, or is it something that people come and travel to? And is it just in Florida, or are you opening them in other states?
So it's going to be a franchise. Our base unit, or first unit, is going to be here, of course, next door to my office. But then we're going to be franchising these because we want to have more and more people have access. And we have several models to the program. So there's the basic spa where people can come in, just have a relaxation day. They could buy packages. Mm-hmm. And that could be the basic unit. And you don't have to have a doctor's prescription to come in. You just go through and have a wonderful day at the spa, knowing that at the end of that day, you've done some magnificent work for your body to be healthier. Mm-hmm. But then we have other levels depending on who the owner of the spa is. If they either have a veterinarian or it's run by a veterinarian, then we can get into the cancer therapies and the therapies for chronic degenerative disease, which includes photodynamic therapy, where we do laser therapy intravenously. And there's a variety of other things that we do here in my office that would be that second tier. That's where if you did have an animal that had cancer and you didn't have a veterinarian who could take care of you, then hopefully the owner of that spa's would have a veterinarian on staff, and that would be a service that they could offer. But that's a kind of a second tier.
Wow. I love that. I can't wait to, you know, send, you know, clients and have let my vet know that this exists. Because honestly, any vet who is willing and able to think outside the box and learn technically could become a franchise of mm-hmm. this, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And if it's owned by a veterinarian, then they can do the higher level stuff.
Got you. Wow. That's awesome. Congratulations. And thank you for everything you do. In the minute that we have left, how can people reach you and go to your website and buy your food? Because I'm about to make an order after we get off our interview.
Thanks. So if you go to drmarlenesiegel.com is the easiest way to reach all of my websites. So it's drmarlenesiegel.com, M-A-R-L-E-N-E, S like in Sam, I-E-G-E-L. And then from there, you can access Pasco Vet. You can access Spa's, which is not opened yet as a you know, independent building, but it is in my office. And then the food site, which is evoloveraw.com, is also accessible from there.
Dr. Siegel, thank you so much for joining me. It's an absolute honor and pleasure to speak with you. I'm looking forward to putting a lot of what you said into my personal well-being with my cat. And I love what you do, and we need more of you out here.
Well, I'm trying to train more.
Well, thank you.
I'm working on it. Send those vets my way.
We'll do. So,
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
You're an amazing interviewer.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for your time. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.